Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, and today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So it's been a hot second since we've been on the air. We wanted to make sure that we were staying true to all of you and giving you some more content this week. And we are going to be discussing the Enneagram. So for those of you that don't know, this whole talk is kind of based on a book called The Road Back to You. And I just want to give out the disclaimer that I am not an Enneagram coach or an expert. So this, it's not sponsored or approved by the Enneagram powers that be. But we are going to just be anecdotally talking about our personal experiences with these numbers and how they relate to the prep life. And then we're also going to briefly describe each number so that you can decide which one speaks to you as your personality trait, and then some things that you need to know in as far as how to succeed in the prep life if you are this number, trying to move from your strengths and work from a healthy space in that number, and just kind of how you can strengthen yourself through stress. We're also going to kind of paint the picture of what an unhealthy number in this space looks like as well. So there are tons of free tests that you can take online, but it's best if you read about the numbers as well and don't just take the test as the end all be all, because it really needs to, that number needs to speak to you on so many different levels. So we are just hitting the tip of the iceberg, giving that disclaimer. So Chris, why don't you start us off by just saying what a number one, the reformer or the perfectionist, looks like at their best and at their worst?
Sure. In general or in conjunction with exercise?
Just kind of briefly describe what it looks, or what it kind of looks like, best, worst, strength, and then we'll kind of go a little bit deeper into how that pertains to the health and fitness side of it.
Okay, yes. So a number one, or they could be referred to as a reformer, at their best, here's some adjectives that would describe them. Ethical, moral, organized, principled, and wise. And then at their worst, they tend to be more of a perfectionist, critical, resentful, and impatient. So there are a lot of strengths in being like very structured, working towards a goal, being very driven. But then it can go to an unhealthy level where it's, you know, I think a lot of times we label ourselves as perfectionists and trying to get everything absolutely right. And then we can, in relationships, have a little bit of like resentment if things are not going as perfectly planned. So, does that describe the reformer like you were asking?
Yeah, totally. Okay. And so if you are a number one and you already know that this is your Enneagram type, then you know that you're, when it comes to health and fitness, you tend to be extra critical and impatient with your results. It's best to have a coach so that you know that they are going to lead you in the quote unquote right way, because you like to focus on a priority. You want to know that you're doing it the right way. So you're going to go all in when it comes to healthy eating and exercising because you're very detail oriented, but you need to know that what you're doing is the right thing. So you're not going to need like a whole bunch of motivation to get you into gear, but you're just going to need to know that your coach is giving you the right diet, the right exercise so that you can be successful. And it's important that you also set just like short-term programs with few requirements so that you can be, you know, laser focused on what it is to do. And so Chris, why don't you go over how through stress, how they can maybe strengthen as well?
Sure. So because number ones have such a high standard for themselves, it's like almost an unreachable goal sometimes. And so number ones can be a little bit moody. a little bit irrational, but ways to mitigate that are really good for, number one, to slow down exercises. So if we're talking about in the gym, if you're not progressing in the way that you want, really focusing on performing movements to like perfect movement quality and making sure that you're really focusing on the muscles and getting them activated, and then slowing down to eat mindfully too. So I think number ones are always like go, go, go. They always have a goal. They have a high standard. They're pushing, pushing, pushing. But sometimes slowing down and just being able to focus on the exercise, focus on eating your meal, and then, you know, working on the mindset as well of having a thankful heart can eliminate a lot of stress for number one.
Perfect. Yeah, and you're a two with a one wing. So when we say a wing, it just means that's like the secondary number. And if you look at the Enneagram as a circle, which is how it's depicted, we'll have maybe a visual on Instagram at Prep Life Podcast. So you're going to usually wing out to one side or the other. So for Chris, she's a dominant two. She wings to the one as a secondary. So I'll let you kind of explain what a healthy two looks like and what they may look like at their worst.
Yes. Since I live this, so number two could be called a helper. So I am like all like such a strong number two. A lot of times also in my relationships. So at their best, number twos or helpers are empathetic and warm, very generous, very loving, very selfless. I think that's a really important one. But then at their worst, they can be manipulative. People pleasing is another one, possessive, or very prideful. So I can definitely relate to this as far as, my tendency when I have relationships that I'm close to, any relationship that I'm very close with that person, I'll give and give and give and give, because it's my, just my natural tendency, but it will always have a tipping point where I'll reach where I've given so much that now a lot of my needs are neglected. And, I mean, I'll be honest, like I can have tendencies to like, people please. And then if they are not reciprocating the same type of care, I can become hurt, or like manipulative to get that same type of care back. I mean, I can definitely relate to a lot of these number twos.
Yeah. And so because the two is very in tune with other people's needs, they tend to neglect themselves, which as Chris had mentioned. And so they really need a coach to keep them accountable. And they need the coach to actually say, you know, like, this is the number that we need to hit by this date. And they need set appointments for accountability and adherence. And they need somebody in their corner telling them it's okay to put yourself first in this situation, because it's going to make you a better person to help those other individuals and to be a stronger, healthy two, so that you're taking care of yourself. To kind of like we've talked about in past podcasts, just making sure your cup's full so that you can pour into others. You guys know that I remind Chris that quite a bit. And I am a three, so we'll get to that one in a second. But something I wanted to point out is you'll notice that we kind of wing. So I'm a three dominant, and then I kind of wing to the two. So we work together pretty well. Two, three, and four are heart centered, and so they're very in tune with emotions, and it's in different ways. So for a two, they're more in tune with other people's needs, where as a three, basically I can help her cultivate and push herself to reach her highest potential as well. Some other things that twos just need to be aware of. So if you are a two and you're living the prep life, just remember that you, when you're dealing with stress, you want to make sure that you're doing it in a healthy way. Do you want to kind of dive into some of those ways that they can typically digress.
Yeah.
Because I know that this is your number, so I want you to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So number twos, when we're stressed out, can often like fall into behaviors that are extreme because we're trying to take care of ourselves now. So we've pushed ourselves to the limit of where we're taking care of everybody else. Now we feel neglected. And so, you know, like poor relationships with food, as far as like binge eating, or overeating, they've been patterns that I've had in the past where it was like almost like a desperation because I needed to do something for myself. But recently, since I've had great relationships with food and I haven't had those behavior patterns, I will often, I can exercise too much. And so I will find relief that way. As like, I was telling Amy like a couple months ago, I was like running hills for like 45 minutes to an hour, which my body is not designed to do. And I was like, yeah, it just really hurt. But it was my way of dealing with stress by doing something like so extreme. So I think that just looking at how you are dealing with stress in that type of situation can kind of help eliminate overdoing it with your body as well.
Yeah. And then do you want to talk about how you weighing on the one and then a relationship that might be a one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So since I am a one and a two, I've noticed that I'm an extreme two when it comes to relationships. Like I mentioned a little bit before, when I was single, I was very much a strong one. So, I was like very goal centered. I had really high standards for myself. And so on my own, I have a lot of those one tendencies, but I noticed that when I'm in a relationship, I'll gravitate towards being a number two. And I was telling Amy earlier, most recently, because I've started a new relationship, I noticed that a lot of my priorities, you know, for my prep were kind of getting like pushed back to the end of the day, or my responsibilities were becoming last on my list of things to do, because I was so concerned now with taking care of someone else. And I would get frustrated at the end of the day and stressed out because I'd be like, why can't I get everything done? And I hadn't really noticed that I had shifted to over caring for someone else. And I am dating an athlete as well. So I understand,
one,
like,
by the way.
Who is a one? Yes. So understanding food and exercise and prioritizing his individual things in that respect really made my priorities take a back seat. So I had to have like a moment with myself and realize that it was my tendencies that were pushing my things to the back burner. And so that's a good example of how a number two can kind of like swing too far one way. And how like putting yourself last, like Amy was talking about, is a tendency that I can fall into. So it's really good to have like Amy and other people hold me accountable to let me know that I need to put myself first in some respects, and then like the helping can come later. So yeah, it's been very interesting.
Yeah. So if you're a three, you are called the achiever or the performer. And they, at their worst, are workaholics. They're competitive. They're image-focused, self-conscious, out of touch with themselves. At their best, they're very charming, ambitious, competent, energetic, and self-assured. They can motivate others to be reach their full potential and be inspired. So as far as threes go, if you are a three, you're probably that person that at the gym, the person next to you on the treadmill doesn't know it, but they're in a race with you. you do very well in your prep. And I have some clients that are threes, and this is just so true to the three, and it's myself included. We do so well with checklists, and we don't need motivation from someone else. We get that intrinsically in our need for success. And we do very well, though, if we have a checkoff list and we have basically like a calendar or things set so that we're able to, you know, see that we've accomplished something for the day. So our to-do list, even just for that single day, or that chore board, whatever way that you do it, those are really good. If you're a three, you need to make sure that you have that in place. And then in times of stress, they need more alone time, and they need to do something like yoga or go on a run, because they need to almost like nourish their soul. They're a lot of times trying to be the shapeshifter or the chameleon and being what everybody else needs them to be. So
that
sometimes
makes sense.
They need to just take that time individually to nourish themselves. So I am, like I said, a three. My husband is a four. So you'll see the trend. Our relationships, our significant others are near to us on the wheel. So the individualists, they are very, they can be creative, emotional, basically expressive, and they can show strength, compassion, empathy. But at their worst, they become very self-absorbed, dramatic, envious, withdrawn, and overly sensitive. So I found this with my husband. He is a true four, 100%. His thing that in health and fitness that really gets him. So if you are a four, keep this in mind. It's really important that you're like making foods that are unique. So he gets really inspired by trying to make a bad, like quote unquote, bad recipe into a very healthy recipe by putting together ingredients. And he really prides himself on coming up with unique recipes. Same thing with exercise. It's really important that your uniqueness is coming through. So you're probably going to want to have creativity when it comes to getting into the gym. And just making sure that your expectations aren't too unrealistic, because that can tend to happen. And that, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think when I hear like a four speaking, if they go to a restaurant, they want to try like the weird food on the menu. So that's kind of a four. Do you have anything to add on the fours?
No, which I just find that so interesting, how your relationships overlap that way. I can see how they are positive, like how you and your husband work really well together.
Yeah, and he wings to a three. So he still prides himself on, he's not a whole four, you know, he has the secondary of a three. So he's still kind of competitive and is really driven for success, which is kind of like how your one wing is. All right, let's go into the five. Why don't you tell us what they look like at their worst and their best?
Sure. A five could be labeled more like an investigator. So at their best, they're curious, independent, insightful, and innovative. And at their worst, they can be detached, preoccupied with their thoughts, or high-strung is another way that you could describe them.
Yeah. So when you're living the prep life and you're a five, you need to know that you have to have a system. You're very analytical. You need like a solid workout routine. You do pretty well with a meal plan. You're a really good listener. So obviously having a coach is super important. And you just need to make sure that you're, you can tend to be a hoarder of energy, so you're often going to feel tired. So just be aware, fives, that thinking on an empty stomach will lead to a gorge or a high carb latent food addiction. So you just want to make sure that you're maybe keeping like a system with meal timing so that you don't get too far involved in something where you have a blood sugar crash and you just munch away, because they're similar to like a one where, you know, they could find themselves on a really long jog, like you're saying, or walk just to mentally work through something. So just, you know, again, try not to overdo it and be aware of that so that you have that sense of more balance and things like that. Do you have anything to add on the fives?
Yeah, no, I think that describes them perfectly.
Okay. All right, let's go into the six. So just so you know, we talked about the twos, threes, and fours being heart-centered. The five, six, and seven, they are fear-based. So six, go ahead and say what the worst and best of the six is.
Sure.
Okay.
A six is a loyalist. So at their best, they're reliable, hardworking, very responsible, trustworthy, and stable. But at their worst, they can become anxious and defensive, rebellious, but also indecisive.
Okay. So when you're living the prep life and you are a six, you will need to have a connection. So it's really important that you have a coach that, or, you know, a program that's leading you on your way to a healthy journey. And you would be, if you're a six, you're like the poster child for a meal plan. You like the comfort of having the same thing every day. It does not bore you. You could do that. And something that you really need a coach for, though, is making sure that you have a well-balanced meal plan, because you could tend to just follow whatever. And if it's too super, super strict, then you will have that overwhelming feeling of binging or falling off the wagon. So it's just really important to have like that checks and balances person, since it can sometimes lead to that analysis by paralysis. They're fearful of making a decision. That's kind of why they drive towards like, oh, well, I know that these meals are my safe meals. So it's important that their coach is advocating for them, that they're getting good variety for their gut health. And then same with like fitness, you probably want to get a gym partner. They do really well with group exercise and things like that. So just having somebody like an accountability partner to go to the gym with would be super important. And they're going to join others, and they don't want to like really compete against other people. So it's important that they do sign up for like a show to keep them accountable, but that they're kind of measuring their own progress, if that makes sense. Would you have anything to add to that?
No, I think you explained it really well. That makes total sense.
Okay. Yeah. And it's important for them to know that they have that coach that they can trust, so that they will guide them through the process, especially when they are stressed. All right, moving on to the sevens.
Yeah.
This is a fun number.
Yeah. So the life of the party, number seven is an enthusiast. So they really like adventure. And at their best, they're very extroverted, optimistic, and spontaneous. But at their worst, they can be overextended and scattered, distractive or impulsive.
Yeah, this number has FOMO to the T, so fear of missing out. Whereas a three, actually, mine's JOMO, joy of missing out. So a three can tend to laser focus on their goal and be so into their success that they kind of like just block out anything that's going on, and they'll tend to like neglect their social situations. Whereas a seven is the exact opposite. They like to be part of the fun, and you probably love hanging out with a seven. They're very full of life, and they can tend to, in a negative space in the prep life, their deadly sin or whatever, if you're going that route, is gluttony. So they really love all the foods. They love having a good time. And so if there's something social that involves food, they like to try different things, and they like to go out to restaurants. They like to be able to do that. But it's important, if you are a competitor, to be aware of that and make sure that you're staying on track with your goals. with your coach, and that they understand that as a seven, you need a refeed meal out with friends and you need that planned. Or I'm thinking of one of my clients that we actually do an untracked meal just so that she can try the different foods. And she always has a good check-in after she's had a planned untracked meal, because I just feel like it helps like with her cortisol levels, and
it
fills her need for, you know, getting that part of her seven that really needs to be there and to not have to pick certain foods. So they would do well with flexibility as well in their diet. So these are things to keep in mind, especially if you're hiring a coach and you know yourself that you are a seven. You probably won't do well with just like a same foods that never change. And it's funny because I know a seven that the previous coach was like that. And it was like the same foods for months and months. And it just really, you know, put her in this box. So that's something to be aware of. Did you have anything to add about like them in stress or when they go to their unhealthy side?
Would you say like a number seven is better with like macro tracking, as far as like having one kind of goal of like knowing what to, like what your calorie goal is, but being able to pick and choose foods?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And I do think that just them asking the question, what is my purpose for today? Just kind of reflecting on that and just trying to focus on like one question each morning like that, so that they're kind of like recentering, you know, I think that's really important for them. So they do need a little bit of structure, but so that's where there's like that balance, situation.
Yeah.
So a coach really is important so that they're still implementing that little bit of freedom, but sevens are like ADD number. So they have to have some kind of centering. So that's why I like to have it like as a carrot for them. You know, so that's something they can look forward to implement, but then it usually equals success like throughout the week and throughout that day. If they know like, hey, I can have this like free untracked meal where I can pick and choose and do some things that I really enjoy.
Makes sense, playing to their strengths. Yeah.
All right, let's go on to number eight. Do you want to give best and worst of that number?
Yes. So number eight is a challenger. So they really want to leave their mark. And so they have a drive for that. At their best, they're confident and strong, decisive, and very straightforward. But at their worst, they can be egocentric or domineering. And almost intimidating.
Yeah. So when living the prep life, so the eights, the nines, and the ones are the three that are anger-based numbers. So we started with the one, but when it goes full circle, obviously the nine touches the one, right? So those three are the anger-based. So a healthy eight can really be... I mean, they can get it. They can hit a goal. So when they're living the prep life, you know, competition, they are not afraid of competition. They can make a competition from themselves or from someone else, and they can really thrive on that, that opposition. They're not afraid of that. So I found that by coaching eights, so if you are looking into coaching, and you are a number eight, it's important to know that you have a coach that's going to educate you about the methods and how they're going to benefit you, because eights can tend to not like being told what to do. So I'm very careful with the way that I word things. I try to, you know, just educate them on why, you know, let's say sugar, you know, it's inflammatory towards your gut and digestion and size of your waist. So I think that they are the best at flexible dieting in terms of they can make those decisions, but then they need to be educated as to why certain foods are better options, because they don't want to just be told, like, hey, don't eat sugar. That's going to not be good for them. They want to know why it's the smart choice to do that, and then be able to be empowered to make that decision on their own.
I was just going to use that word. It sounds like number eights need to feel empowered within their prep.
Yeah. Yeah. So they, when they can be on the unhealthy side, they can tend to withdraw and disconnect, and kind of like feel like this is the only way to do things. So it's just important to kind of bring them back into like a healthy space when considering their health and fitness goals. Did you have anything to add on eight?
No, that makes perfect sense. They need to feel like they have some control.
Yep. Yeah. And because they're going to get after it. Like if you kind of lay the groundwork, you tell them what needs to be done, they're going to get after it. That's something that I've noticed, is just like, you have to be upfront with them though. You have to really say like, hey, this is what it's going to take to do this. You know, sometimes they don't want to hear it, but I actually think when you're talking to an eight, if you know you're talking to an eight, then they actually like that. They like you to be upfront with them, because they want to know like what they need to do to get there. Hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then the peacemaker is kind of the opposite, in the way that they are, they do not like confrontation. So why don't we talk about what number nine, the last number, looks like in a healthy space and maybe at their worst.
Yeah. So a peacemaker is a number nine. They're very trusting and supportive and stable. So they're always looking for the silver lining. They're, you know, like seeing the positives. But at their worst, they could be a little bit stubborn, or complacent, I think is a really good way to describe it. Or also avoid necessary conflict. So they'll just kind of like steer away from anything that's going to disrupt any type of peace in their environment.
Yeah. And their worst is kind of like that sloth, like the deadly sin. They can appear lazy at times, but really they're just trying to look for that balance and harmony. And I'm thinking of a client that is number nine, and she's very in tune with what her body needs. And she knows, like, she might not necessarily make a decision based on, like her prep. She might have like ice cream with like her friend, just because she felt like that was the right thing to do and she really wanted to enjoy it. So, it's important that they are in sync with their body. So, as a coach, or when you're thinking about like a fitness journey, it's just important that they know that what they're doing is going to bring them the proper balance, if that makes sense, like with their eating, their exercise. Do you have a better way of describing that than I just did?
Yeah. So I think it's more about the experience for a peacemaker, and just like how their body is feeling, how things are like affecting them or affecting their environment, versus like an upfront goal. So I think it's, I would say like more about the experience.
Yeah. So they tend to gravitate towards like deep breathing, yoga. They're very in tune with that kind of, that practice. And so it's just important that when they are moving towards a fitness goal, that they're, you know, keeping everything in that harmony is basically what I would say about that. So we are at that time. We are at number nine, and we are have gone through all of the Enneagrams. I do not know if you found value in this. I hope you did. If you don't know what your number is, I encourage you to take that test or read about it. Again, the book that is really, I think, helpful in describing is The Road Back to You. So hopefully you found value in this. If you would like to leave us a comment on Instagram, we are at Prep Life Podcast, or you can find us at Glam Girl Bikini. You can apply for the team at glamgirlbikini.com. We're always looking for hardworking unicorns. And this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.
Oh, and my name's Amy Inger. I'm really great at this.
I thought that you meant that, but
I did not say my name. I just said this is, yeah. Okay. So, you know, we keep it real here. Love you all.